All right, welcome back. This is episode 117 of the Walking Closer podcast. And we have been working our way through a book called The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard. And I have been sharing my own thoughts, and we are in the final chapters of this book. And today, we're going to talk a bit about Chapter 9, which Willard titled A Curriculum for Christlikeness, where he lays out some strategic and practical steps to apply all that he's covered in the previous chapters. And man, I'm telling you, it has quickly become my favorite chapter of the book. And with only one chapter left to go, it may be just that. Now let me show you why.
We're all formed by our life experiences, but sometimes these experiences shape us in negative ways. And the process of spiritual transformation can help undo those negative impacts so we can live life to the fullest. And Walking Closer is all about this journey through internal transformation where real changes happen from the inside out.
So first of all, this chapter starts off with a quote from Matthew 7, 24-25, where Jesus said, quote, "So those who hear me and do what I say are like those intelligent people who build their homes on solid rock, where rain and floods and winds cannot shake them." And in Matthew 28:20, where Jesus said, "Train them to do everything I have told you." These are like Willard's translations, I believe. But then he goes on to say right off the bat, okay, I love this. "These words of Jesus show that it must be possible to hear and do what he said. It also must be possible to train his apprentices in such a way that they routinely do everything he said was best." I absolutely love this because it speaks to a longing in my own heart that says not only is there more, but it's not some pipe dream to consider what Jesus said as possible for us today. Like we're not just talking about a wish here. We are talking about a reality that Jesus invites us all to live in and experience. It's a way of being and living that is more and better than what we so often make life out to be. And it's possible through apprenticeship to Jesus. Now, while the main context of this chapter is addressing guiding others into an apprenticeship to Jesus, and when I say that, don't think evangelism in the traditional sense. It's also something, though, that you can apply to yourself as long as there are intentions to live the abundant life. And I love the way Willard lays all this out. So I'm just going to, for the most part, but regurgitate back to you what really landed with me. So there are going to be several quotes that I read to you. And again, I recommend you pick this book up if you haven't, and you haven't read it, or if you haven't read it in a long time. Man, so rich and so life-giving to me. I trust that it will be for you as well. So at this point of the book, we are talking about people who are already committed to learning to be like Jesus, right? But who just don't know how to proceed beyond being convinced there is something to what Jesus has said and what he did. And the question really is, how do we do this, right? So there is obviously a vision of what being like Jesus is, but there also must be the intention to do so. And with the intention, we have to consider what would we do to guide people who want this, right? And that's the means. And it's not just others. Maybe it's you and me. How would we train ourselves, as it were? Now, in light of this, Willard says, quote, The task is not to inform the disciple or student about things that Jesus believed, taught, and practiced, but is, quote, bringing them to actually believe all the things they have already heard. Oh, it's so good. See, I often say so many times we talk about what we believe, but the reality is what we refer to as what we believe has more to do with what we think are the right answers. It has more to do with what we think we should be saying and not as much as to what we have actually entrusted ourselves to. It's more like what we have mentally, publicly even, and mentally agreed to go along with. But that's Willis says, listen, we actually, like, it's about bringing them to actually entrust themselves, right? Believe all the things they have already heard. And, quote, our task in ourselves, he says, and in others, is to transform, so good, the right answers into automatic responses to real life situations. It's like taking this out of the head, into the heart, into the body, into the real life everyday situations. Man, so good. Sit with that for a while. And as a result of actually entrusting ourselves to what we already know, we will actually apply it. And in doing so, we can, quote, deal more successfully with reality, right? It's the idea of, you know, this is how reality works. This is how it works right here. And so we are talking about going beyond just saying, yeah, Jesus is right, and whatever it was that he said, and coming to a place where we see how it is true for ourselves in our own situations. And we come to know it is true through this firsthand experience. And it's going from just taking someone's word for it that it is true and experiencing it for ourselves and truly seeing how it is indeed the case. Willard said it this way, quote, as his apprentices, we pass through a course of training from having faith in Christ to having the faith of Christ. Oh, man. So, so rich. Then he goes on to lay out these two primary objectives that we'll have here. The first is to, quote, bring apprentices to the point where they love and constantly delight in that Heavenly Father made real to earth in Jesus and are quite certain that there is no catch, no limit to the goodness of his intentions or to his power to carry them out. In other words, as he puts it later, it's about enthralling the mind with God. And then the second is, quote, to remove our automatic responses against the kingdom of God, to free the apprentices of domination, of enslavement to their old habitual patterns of thought, feeling, and action. Like these are the automatic patterns of response that were ground into the embodied social self during its long life outside the kingdom. Or in other words, again, as he puts it later on, it's about acquiring the habits of goodness. It's as I would say it, it's about breaking the bondage of sin and shame and guilt and fear and trauma. And all those things that hold us back, that keep us down. And then Willard breaks these two objectives even down even further, right? And man, just in true Willard fashion. And I won't go into great detail about that, but let me share with you just the highlights, right? So when it comes to, quote, enthralling the mind with God, he says it first starts with turning the mind toward God to the point where he is, quote, fully before our senses and mind as possible. We get close and we linger and we begin to delight and we love it. And the question is, why is that the case? Because what occupies our mind governs what we do. Said another way, what we give our attention to is what we become. And so the goal here is to have the mind in such a condition that it, quote, stays directed toward God. And Willard goes on to talk about three different areas where God comes to us, like through creation, through his public acts on the scene of history, and through the individual experiences of him by ourselves and in others. And then a few other topics of interest he hits on in this section. And it has to do with clarity on God being seen as the supreme creator and sustainer. And in that thought, teaching and responding to inquiries with honesty and integrity. It's so when people have questions about the reality of God's existence, that he is the creator, sustainer behind all of this, there are going to be a lot of questions. There's a lot of doubts that come there. There's a lot of things that even science challenges on that, we wrestle with the more and more we come to know. And Willard actually addresses that and says, listen, we need to be honest. And we need to handle that with honesty and integrity, not just brushing them aside. It's about staying up to speed with honest science and not just giving arbitrary answers that sound good or that help us make the point or sound smart or just to be right. It's not about winning a debate here. And then the other thing he addresses is theology. And he presents what he calls the acid test for any theology. And that is, and this is so good, is the God presented, the one that you're presenting, is the God presented by your theology, right? One that can be loved, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, man. See, if there's a difference in having a lot to say about love and God, and actually presenting God as someone who could actually be loved. Oh man, that speaks into my story. It's so deep. Then he goes on to mention several other great points of interest. And too many to mention here. And if I were to do that, I might as well just read you the chapter. It's a pretty long one. If you can't tell, I want though to get to the other objective he mentions, and that is acquiring the habits of goodness or breaking bond to the sin in our body. Like it's all about dealing with our baggage, the chains that bind us, the formation we have that is not from the heart of God and a fruit from it. He says it this way. He says it's about, quote, breaking off the power of patterns of wrongdoing and evil that govern our lives because of our long habituation to a world alienated from God. We must learn to recognize these habitual patterns for what they are and escape their grasp. It's about patterns of wrongdoing that govern human life and giving our life and the innermost thoughts and feelings and intentions over to the kingdom of the heavens. Man, when he writes and when he talks, it's just it's like you want to just say, give me a moment. Let me sit with that for a little while. It's so rich. And Willard talks about the role that we play in all of this, the role the Spirit plays in all of this, and how this actually plays into the events of our lives. And it's not just in our head. He talks about the power of what I call rhythms, or traditionally known as disciplines. Some call them practices, and the effect that they can have on helping us put off the old person and put on the new made in the image of Christ. Christ being formed in us. And I'm not going to go into detail about some of the disciplines here. Again, I'd rather save that for another time. But he lays out a great case for engaging in some very practical rhythms and shows how they can be helpful. Very, very thorough. Man, he was just so thorough. He doesn't go through an extensive list, but it really wasn't so much about the specific practices as how he lays out this strategy and shows you why it makes sense, it works. And just reading what he said in light of everything he has already strung together, it just makes sense. Like, he is not just saying you should do these things because Jesus did them or because this is what you should do. Like he walks you through the thought process from vision to intention to utilizing the means. And again, it's all about Christ being formed in us. And the approach that he takes is grounded in scripture and clear ideas and concepts and in practice. It's just a magnificent way to bring it all together. And that's something Willett was really good at doing, in my opinion. And the best part of it all is that it's not about Dallas Willett, right? It's about who Dallas Willett is pointing you to, and that's Jesus. See, he was a disciple of Jesus, pointing and guiding others to becoming disciples of Jesus. And this book is one of the many testaments to this very thing. And if you haven't picked up a copy of this book, I'm telling you, give it a shot. If you have a copy but haven't read it in a while, or maybe just never made it through it, just pick it up again. Give it another shot, and you'll see. Very, very enriching, life-giving, valuable. That's all I have for now. And in the next episode, we will conclude this series with a look at the final chapter of The Divine Conspiracy. So thanks for listening, and hope you will tune in next time, where we continue to explore and become like Jesus from the inside out.